It's time for Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we're excited that you've joined us. And it's always fun to anticipate the show. And I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and my associate pastor, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, is right here to my left. Don't you love being on the radio, Pastor Jim?
I do. It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure. It's fun. We've got a new code name for Pastor Jim, don't we, Nan?
Yes. PJ.
PJ. I wonder where we got that. Pastor Jim.
Oh, maybe we got it from Pastor Jim.
Yes, but anyway.
There's Nan. Sharp as a tack, that one.
Sharp as a tack. And Nan Watson. And Nan, you end up having to be on quite a bit. And we've had some shortages on our radio team in the last few weeks with some different stuff going on in people's lives. And you filled in so many times in addition to your own rotation. We appreciate it very much.
I love being a part of such a mighty ministry as this is.
It is. It's fun, isn't it? It was really cool. So we're excited today about what God's going to do. We're in the book of James. We've been studying it for a few weeks now. It's been fun, Pastor Jim, teaching this, hasn't it?
Well, I'm a little prejudiced because the book is named, I'm named after the book.
Oh, so. Is that what your name means? Okay, Jim. Yeah, James, got it. Yeah, absolutely. No, I know. But isn't it fun? I mean, there's so much good stuff in this book.
Yeah, I mean, I think James may be one of the more neglected books of the New Testament.
Why do you say that?
Well, because everybody tends to focus on, you know, Paul's letters.
Okay.
Once you get past the Gospels and Acts, everybody focuses more on Paul's letters.
Right.
Tend not to spend a whole lot of time in, you know, well, maybe Hebrews, maybe John's letters. But James just seems kind of out there.
Yeah.
And I think it's just because James has a slightly different tone than the rest of the letters.
Ooh, okay. Well, we're going to find out what you mean by that in just a few minutes. So we've been on the book of James for a few weeks, and we are going to wrap it up here in the next little while, maybe in a couple weeks, but there's just so much good, rich teaching there. We never know, so we might as well say that, right, Nan?
Right, we never know.
We never know.
You never know. Whatever no. God wants, as he moves.
You know, that is exactly right, and that's what Beacon of Hope is all about, where the Word of God it brings healing and restoration to hurting lives, and it is about the leading of the Holy Spirit. Do you want to comment on that?
Well, I think it's neat, like one day you got up and you said, well, this next week we're going to start a series on whatever. God told me, he tells you, and you follow, and You don't have some book that you go to and say, well, let's go this and then this and then
oh,
this.
Yeah.
It's like he, you know, while you're out there, you know, in your kayak on the causeway,
communing
with God.
Exactly.
He leads you into the direction of where we need to go. And it's so powerful because of the direction we have been going. I mean, every service is just so anointed. The Bible study, the radio show is just, you know, and this past one, you did it in a little bit different way. Normally you have one series going at church and one series going on Wednesday night, and then the radio show kind of tags off a Sunday morning, and now you're just going all the way through all the, you know, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Bible show, I mean, radio show, not Bible show, radio show, just move on forward.
All through the book of James.
The book of James.
And it's been kind of good for continuity, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
It's a good point, Nan. It really is. I think that it's caused people to kind of get into the flow. There's only five chapters in the book of James. And it shouldn't take that long to read it. But I think that a lot of people don't read. They prefer to hear.
Right.
You know?
Right. And for a book of five chapters, there sure is a lot in here.
And today we're going to talk about some interesting, fun topics here. We also have the world's sweetest, kindest, cutest engineer.
Oh, yes.
We do, don't we?
We do. Yes, we do.
Sweetest, kindest, cutest. Look at him.
Look at him laughing.
I think he's turning red. Is he turning red?
Cedric, he is just a doll baby.
He is a sweetheart.
Yes, he is. And we appreciate him so much.
Yes.
And so we look forward to today. And we're going to have some good chat and some great music. And as always, it's fun to listen to this contemporary music. Every once in a while, we'll throw in an older song. And so we've got kind of a variety today. We got some Hillsong music and Mercy Me. And it's just kind of a variety, but it's good. So anyway, let's start with prayer. Pastor Jim, why don't you do that? And then we'll get going.
Father, we give you glory and honor and praise for this opportunity to share your word. Father, we know that your word is not just idle words, but that it's our very life, and it's life-giving.
Yes.
And Father, we ask that your word would go forth and give life and renew life, renew hope, renew strength, Father, where there's weakness. Father, we just ask that your anointing would be on us and on your word as it goes forth. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to share. We thank you, Jesus, that you've redeemed us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are our counselor.
Amen.
And we give you glory and honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We want this to be a life-changing show for you today. You have time to call a friend, a family member. Invite them to tune in. If you are in the Tampa Bay area and you want to try the internet instead of listening on the actual radio station, that is fine too. Go to www.tantalk1340.com. Actually, all up in the Little Rock area, we're live on that radio station, so that's cool. But you can always get this same show at the current time, www.tantalk1340.com. So let's get going. The first song we're going to do today is Hold On to Me, for King and Country is the name of the group. Hold On to Me.
Winter has come back again, feels like the season won't end. My faith is tired tonight, and I won't try to pretend. I've got it all figured out, that I don't have any doubts. I've got a busted heart, I need you now. Yeah, I need you now. Hold on.
Hold on to me.
I'll surrender tonight. You meet me right where I am.
Whoa. You meet me right where I am. Don't let me lose my way. Hold on to me. Wow, those are powerful words. I think that's the only second time I've ever heard that song.
Oh, that's a good one.
Isn't that the group for King and Country? I don't know anything about them. Do you?
They're fairly new. I think they're from Australia, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. But those words, I'm desperate for grace. You know, don't let me lose my way. I mean, that was just great because there's so many times in our lives, and some of you out there today may feel this right this moment, where you feel like you're just hanging on to God, you know, barely, because maybe life has just been giving you all kinds of issues and problems, and you're just desperate for God's grace and His favor in your life. Good news for you today, because God is right here ready to meet your needs, and He cares about those details of our lives. Nan, don't you think so often people have been sold a lie of the devil that God doesn't care about the little things in their lives?
Yes, I believe so. I think a lot of times, you know, people think, well, you know, He cares about the big things.
Yeah.
Someone having cancer, that's a big thing. Various other type of health issues, relationship issues, you know, in the process of a nasty divorce issue. So that, well, God cares about all that, but He doesn't care about these smaller things.
Right.
But the thing is what is going on with you, it doesn't matter really what it's small or large, it's affecting you. And
exactly.
He cares. I mean, He cares regardless of what, you know, that is your reality of what you're going through at the time.
Yes.
And He cares for you in the small things, because He's no respecter of persons, and He's no respecter of situations.
I totally agree. Go ahead. Do you want to comment on that?
Well, yeah, it's nice to know that God is kind of a global God.
He's global.
You know?
He's not prejudiced either. And
right.
He's not phobic in any way.
It doesn't matter who we are or what the need is. He's there.
Yes.
You know, He's there. He's provided an answer.
Right.
He's provided whatever it takes to fill that need, or whatever He has the answer to whatever questions we might have, or whatever it is, God is there for that.
Absolutely.
You know, He cares for each one of us. And, you know, I was thinking when Nan was talking, some people are not even sure He cares about the big things.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know, it's important to remember, yeah, He does. And, you know, some people want to say, well, prove it. And I can think of no greater proof than that He gave Jesus.
Right. Yes.
You know, what more do you want?
Right.
You know, He gave His only begotten Son.
His only Son. We have a nursing home ministry at Palm Garden the first Sunday of every month. And so that was today. And we've done this now for 2 years because our dear Jeannie, who was a part of our ministry, and also my mother were there, living there. And so they ask us to do a service. And so we go the first Sunday of the month. And you're usually with us, Pastor Jim. And today, Nan was the speaker for our little service. And, you know, Nathan's on the keyboard. And we're singing and having a great time. And Nan walks in with this great, big, beautiful kite. And it's all these rainbow colors, and it was gorgeous. And she was eloquent today, Pastor Jim. I mean, it was the dynamic between her and the residents was just fantastic, Nan. And you told a story about how you were out in the field at the high school where you now work with your little son and flying a kite. Do you want to tell about that? Because it goes right along with this situation as we begin this show today.
Well, he's 22 now. He was probably about 8 or 9, something like that then. And we were out flying the kite. And he accidentally let go of the little thing that holds the string holder thing. And so it was bopping along, and the kite was, it was a real great windy day. So the kite was still staying up, and it was going. And, you know, the mother part took a hold of me, and you know, it wasn't the $2 kite, but it was, I gotta get my son's kite back. So it started, the hand roller thing started going up the side of the fence.
So a chain link fence
that was
like a tall one,
like it had the pipe going parallel to the ground, because it was a tennis court fence. So it was pretty tall.
This.
yeah it was something. So I scaled the thing.
She
and got
climbed
to the
chain link fence, Pastor Jim.
And,
only Nan.
And I got the thing of the screwing, but then what happened? I had pulled my shoulder. And so here I am trying to figure out how to get down after I got up. You know, the adrenaline. When, you know, we've heard all kinds of stories of adrenaline. You know, women pick up cards off the children.
Sure.
You know, so the adrenaline got going, got me up. But now I'm up there. I got the string thing I'm holding. I got my shoulder messed up. I can't get down. I can't climb down because I don't know how I climbed up. And he's down there panicking because I'm not coming down because I'm almost crying because I'm in so much pain. Anyway.
So his mother is hanging from the top of a chain link fence, right?
Okay. So I asked him to move aside, and he moved aside, and I kind of jumped down because I didn't know what I was going to do when I jumped down. What I did not share, and I thought of it kind of a parallel, I wound up messing up my rotator cuff.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we, you know, the analogy I use with them is hanging on to the Bible is in like the string thing, like to be the Bible, to lean to the Word because God is faithful. You know, you need to go to the Word,
right,
to get what you need. Okay.
Right.
I went to, he wasn't God, obviously, but a doctor to see about the knees of my shoulder.
Right.
And so that's what happened.
But in order for, I mean, she was hanging on to this thing. Your little son was, and he let go.
Yes.
And, but yet, here it's just like you were just intervening there and bringing that back together. And that's what Jesus has done for us. You know, he's intervened for us and righted that relationship, mm-hmm. you know? So we're hanging on. Mm-hmm. We're hanging on because of what Jesus did on the cross. We can hang on to God and all of his ability to direct us with that. We're that kite running mm-hmm. around all over the sky, you know, but there's Jesus, you know, right there and making sure that connection is still firm, you know, and that was cool.
Well, yeah, so. The connection, I mean, it's like we go to the Father, we go to Jesus for the things we need, and I
right.
went to the doctor,
right.
you know, who had options available for our little dilemma.
Right.
And it was either go through physical therapy. And that might work, or it just put me asleep, and he would. I couldn't move it. I couldn't
yeah.
hardly move it. And he said, I will move that shoulder.
Yeah.
I can get it moving. You have to be put to sleep, and I opted for physical therapy, which, thank God, worked. But,
yeah.
you know, we go to God for the direction of what we need, and he
right.
has things available to us, the answers to our problems, if we just
Amen.
Go to him.
And along that line, all of this requires a teachableness on the inside of us. And I think, PJ, James really stresses this in his book, that people have got to be humble, and they cannot walk around in pride and arrogance and expect to really mature in God. It's not going to happen if it's all about me, you know?
And I think he says something to that effect in every single chapter.
He does. It's there all the way
yeah.
through those five chapters. Go ahead, about the humility. I mean...
Well, yeah, I mean... humble yourselves
yes.
in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up.
Right, right.
You know, that kind of sums up everything. If you're, you know, and it's almost like James, of course, he was Jesus' brother, was reminding his readers of the parable of the Pharisee and the publican.
Right.
Not Republican, just the publican.
okay.
But, you know, it was the Pharisee went in all haughty and, you know, was telling God all the good things he'd done. Well, the
right.
tax collector, the publican, went in, and he was so humble, he wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven.
This is true.
And he said, Lord, have mercy on me, sinner, you know, sinner that I am.
Right.
And Jesus made the point. He asked the crowd, well, which one of these two went away justified? Which one of these two went away in a right relationship with
right.
God? Well, it was the tax collector.
Right.
Which really shocked a lot of people.
Because people were very down on tax collectors,
right.
and that was a stigma,
yes.
actually, of that day to be a tax collector.
Well, usually they were Jewish people who were in cahoots with the Romans.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, you couldn't get much lower than that.
Right.
You know,
right.
in the eyes of a pious Jew, you couldn't mm-hmm. get much lower than to be in cahoots with the Romans,
right.
the people who were oppressing you.
Right.
So, but yet Jesus said, you know what?
Yes.
It was the tax, you know, it was a tax collector that
right.
went away in God's favor. And he said, those who exalt themselves will be humbled.
Right.
Those who humble themselves shall be exalted.
Yes. And I think you're right that is all through the book of James, this concept of, and we talked about it last week on the air, James 4:7, submit to God, well, submit therefore to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. In James 4:7, we talked about that at length, and that submitting to God really requires that humility. You know, that teachableness that says, okay, God, I will learn the lesson. I mean, you learned a lesson from that kite right there. You learned a lesson.
Yes, let it go.
Instead of climbing
the climb fence. Fences.
Don't climb fences.
But yet you were able to use that little story in your life today to bless those residents of the nursing home. And they were into it. And it was cool. It was cool that they were getting that point. Because I remember you saying today distinctly, Nan, that if they're laying on their bed, they're not feeling good, they're depressed, they're sad, whatever, reach out to Jesus and talk to him, and that's what it's about.
Right.
And that's that submitting to God and resisting the attack of the devil that comes, you know, to keep us from that submission, you know? God's all about this humility thing.
Well, and just a
go
few,
ahead.
Verse 6.
Where are you? James 4?
James 4, verse 6. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
And grace is God's unmerited favor. We don't earn it.
Right.
It is a free gift. It's God's gift to us, his grace. And he gives grace to those who are teachable, who say, God, I want to learn these principles. I want to learn how to walk with you in more joy, more peace, you know, and not be beat down by my circumstances, you know. Whoa, we're going to talk about our attitudes. And that's the first one we're going to talk about right there, is the attitude of being willing to allow God to do a fresh work in us. I think this is something that people resist, Pastor Jim. They resist that continual work of the Holy Spirit. I think a lot of times it's people are so into, okay, I got saved. Isn't that it? As we call fire insurance around here. But go ahead.
Well, no, I was just thinking every denomination has done the same thing. You know, the Lutherans, I mean, praise God, salvation by faith alone. But they stopped there. That was like,
right.
That's where we're going to stop.
Right.
Then the Anabaptists, believers' baptism, well, that's where they stopped. They took another step, but they stopped.
Right.
The Methodists brought holiness into the picture. Well, that's where they stopped.
Right.
The Pentecostals brought the fullness of the Holy Spirit in, but that's where they stopped. And it's like every time God births a new move,
right?
There's issues.
Yes. I mean, people resist change.
Right. Well, I mean, on an individual level and on an institutional level.
Exactly.
With the great revivals of the past, they were so... people looked down on them and tried to stop them because God was doing a fresh work.
Right.
And yet, I think people maybe were scared of it. I mean, it's a scary thing. I mean, yeah, I think as happy as the Israelites were when they came out of Egypt, we know that all those 40 years, some of them still wanted to go back to Egypt.
Absolutely.
Because that was their comfort zone.
Yes, right there.
And as screwy as it was, they preferred a life of bondage to a life of freedom because that's what they knew. That's what they were comfortable with. And
that's huge.
You know, I mean, it's the same way for us individually.
Right.
I mean, I know when God has worked in me and wanted to make changes, it hurts. It's painful. It's like, you know, you just want to say, no, I'm real comfortable where I'm at.
Right.
Don't make me change.
People in general resist change, and it's hard to be dependent on God, and yet that is what God is trying to get us all to learn, that total dependence, that relying on His Holy Spirit for direction, for purpose. Nan and I just went to IHOP to eat after the nursing home thing before we came here.
And it was a great lunch with you, Pastor.
Nan and I didn't talk at all to each other. It was, I mean, without saying the person's name, you can recount what happened. And I really believe this is the kind of thing God is wanting to do more of. But go ahead.
Well, she's our normal server whenever we go there. So, and she was not on duty when we got there, so we got someone else. But she always tells the person to take good care of us. So she came by just chatting and was kind of squatted down by the table. And then she took something out and set it on the table. And then she took her keys and set them on the table. And then she realized she's kind of an obstruction there in the thing. So she just went and sat down by you.
Right.
You know? And she just became part of our lunch party there. And she did nothing except
the whole lunch. It was the three of us. It wasn't Nan and I. It was the three of us. And she
talked the whole
told her life
time.
Story.
Her story is incredible. And,
yeah.
to
and where
see
God
a young
has
lady,
brought her.
I know. To see a young lady as bubbly as she is, and you'd love her, Pastor Jim, as bubbly as she is,
yeah.
to 20 years old, then to hear what she has been through in her life makes an incredible story. And she talked the whole lunch.
She did.
The whole entire lunch.
And involved the people in the booth next to us. Got involved. And we walked out of there saying, God, how good you are, because we were able to share hope with her. She's a born-again Christian. We were able to get her to come. She's going to be a part of, she's going to come to our thing that we're doing, Cedric, in November, and bring some friends and family. And, you know, it was one of those divine appointments mm-hmm. where we could have said, well, I'm sorry, ma'am, you know, Nan and I've got things to talk about here. Or we could have gone with, which we really didn't, but, you know, or we went with the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And I think this is what we're saying, Pastor Jim. So often, movements of God get stymied and stuck in the rut of complacency, of fear, of doing anything different. We're getting ready to do some new and exciting things at Beacon of Hope, and it's kind of scary in some ways. Go ahead.
People treasure their traditions.
We can write that down.
Ooh,
that's huge. Yeah, write that down. Ring that bell. Write that down. People treasure their traditions.
And,
can you write that down for me?
And I'm not saying that traditions are bad.
Right.
But they can be.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, we all have traditions, maybe the way we like celebrate Christmas or our birthdays or whatever.
Right.
And that, you know, those are fine, but there comes a point where especially our religious traditions
right.
can stifle not only a move of God, but can stifle our growth because, you know, if we stay stuck in a rut,
yeah.
just because it's comfortable, it means we don't grow.
Exactly.
And worst case scenario is it means we deny God's word.
Exactly.
You know, I think back into Mark chapter 7 where Jesus confronts the Pharisees. He said, first of all, you kind of ignore it. You lay aside the word of God for your traditions.
Right.
Then you actively reject it, and then you make the word of God of no power.
Exactly.
Because of your traditions. And I think sometimes that's what happened. You know, that's what happens. We get so enmeshed in our
yes.
own traditions. You know, this is the way I've always done it.
Right.
That we don't allow God to move and to help us to stretch and grow and mature.
Absolutely. And so often we're comfortable in our role in that tradition. You know, I've always done this, or this has always been my part, or I know how to behave under these conditions. And when God begins a fresh new move of His Holy Spirit, like He's doing at Beacon of Hope right now, it brings us out of that complacency and that sameness that we're used to. And it's like we have an opportunity to try new music. We have an opportunity to reach out and branch out and allow God to move at IHOP or wherever He chooses to move. You know?
Well, okay, this is going to sound really weird, but...
Go ahead, PJ.
You know me. Okay. I believe Jesus' birthday was actually between now and 7 days ago.
Okay.
You know, during the Feast of Tabernacles. So for me, one of my traditions is to read the Christmas story out of Matthew and Luke during the Feast of Tabernacles.
Okay.
But it's
as y'all can tell, he's a big Jewish scholar. Yes.
I wouldn't say scholar. I just love exploring my Jewish roots.
Yeah, I would too.
Scholar.
I would.
Yeah.
He's just being humble.
Jewish roots. Go ahead.
But, you know, again, it went against all Jewish expectation for the Messiah to be born in a cave among the cattle.
Right.
You know.
They didn't expect that at all.
No, nor did they expect him to die on a cross.
There you go.
You know, there was even the parallel, the
good
suffering
point.
Messiah and the conquering Messiah.
Yes.
And they couldn't see the one for the other.
Wow.
Because of the traditions.
Right.
And then, you know, as the church, I don't want to say matured, but as it aged,
okay,
certain traditions crept in, and then when they were challenged, you know, when God wanted to do a new work, the establishment would never submit. It became brittle, and that's one thing we have to be. We have to make sure that we're not. I mean,
I'm just
flying all over the place.
No, you know what? That's exactly right. You know,
Jeremiah took that expensive piece of pottery and busted it and said,
yes.
You quoted God and he said, "This is Israel. You've become brittle. I can't work with you anymore."
Right.
You know, we're supposed to be clay in the potter's hands.
Absolutely.
Like we sang this morning.
We sang that song this morning, the potter's hand. Yes.
But, you know, clay has to be pliable.
Yes.
You can't work it unless it is. You can't work a piece that's dried and been fired.
No.
The only thing you can do is look at it or shatter it. Those are your two choices.
Right.
Oh boy, I'm just flying all over the place.
No, but you know what? That's right on. Go ahead.
Well, and then I think of Jesus' anointing.
Yes.
At Bethany.
Right.
That, you know, we think of like she took a jar and took the lid off of it and, you know, took the spike nard and anointed Jesus with it. You know, that was just before the Passover, just before the crucifixion.
Right.
And that's not how it is. I think it may be in Mark or John, took the alabaster jar and broke it.
Yes.
The only way that flavor, that scent, that aroma could be released, you had to break the jar it was in because it was sealed in there.
Oh, that'll preach.
And we have to be the same way in God's hands. We have to allow ourselves to be broken so that his life, and Paul says the aroma of Christ can flow out of us.
Yes.
Because otherwise, we're just a brittle jar that doesn't do anybody any good.
Right.
And we have to let God break us.
Yes.
You know, there's so many parallels here. We have to be broken because then he can use us. We have to be moldable.
Right.
So that he can create us or turn us into a vessel of honor.
Yes.
And that all going back takes humility and takes not getting caught up in, well, we've never done it that way or whatever. I mean, I think that's always a big excuse. Well, we never did it that way.
Right.
Well, you know, maybe it's time to do it that way.
That's exactly right.
You know?
And so often, me growing up as a preacher's kid and missionary's kid, I've been exposed to so many people in churches that were unwilling to bend with the new move of God. And what James is saying here, and he was the pastor of the largest church. He was the blood half-brother of Jesus. And he was the pastor here, and he's saying, humble yourselves. Don't get stuck in that tradition of being, you know, arrogant and huffy and all of that. And what we're talking about today on Living the Good Life is attitudes, how to behave. An attitude, a frame of mind. I was looking up the definition of it the other day. It's just a frame of mind. It's the way we see things. And we can know in our head, wait a minute, I should be sweet, kind, and lovely. And yet something happens and an attitude creeps up of jealousy, let's say. And James attacks jealousy big in James 3:16. And he says, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, in James 3:16, there is disorder and every evil thing.
That's
jealousy and selfish
language.
Ambition. I mean, the pastor is saying this to his congregation, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. So jealousy, attitudes of envy, jealousy, pride, fear, all these things do not serve the purpose that God once served in our individual lives and in the church. You want to comment on all that, Nan? Or do you want to repent of something?
Oh, let me think of something to repent of. I'm sure I've done something, Pastor.
No, I'm teasing you, Nan. No,
I was thinking of, and this is not to say, look at me. This is not the purpose of this statement, but what did just come to mind was talking about jealousy.
Yeah.
And I was in a work situation where my supervisor was actually very jealous of the working relationship I had with the director's secretary, because she would come and tell me things, and she wouldn't tell my supervisor, and she felt she was very jealous of, mm-hmm. of my behavior. I mean, of that situation with us. And I literally, I prayed and I said, God, help me not be jealous. Okay. Help me not be jealous. Help me not be. And I mean, I made a concerted effort. God, help me not be jealous.
Mm-hmm.
And he, that has carried on in through the rest of my life, that, you know, mm-hmm. you get a bigger car, that's fine. You sing a special, that's fine. Yeah,
right.
You know, whatever, because I'm not jealous of those things.
But so many people are,
right.
And churches get a bad name,
yes.
for people's behavior, for their attitudes, for the way they come across, for their pride, for their jealousy, for their...
Well, church is only as good as the people that are there.
Exactly. It's
not
the four walls.
And you can be there with, you know... I'm thinking one particular church I went to and when I was a teenager and the way they were, and then I wound up going back there and serving in leadership at that same church, and things were different. You know, so
yeah.
Just because I went to so-and-so church in such-and-such years,
right.
You go back later, and many times it's totally different. And then it's just the church is made up of the people.
Right.
So however the people are behaving and how they are, that's what the church is known for.
Exactly. And don't you find it interesting, good insight there, don't you find it interesting, Pastor Jim, that James is so forthright. He is so confrontational here.
That's a good word for it.
Isn't it
almost confrontational.
He's not letting this
through
stuff slide.
Right.
All through the book, he's going, humble yourself.
And I think that's an example to all of us who are pastors. It's
mm-hmm.
easy to avoid confrontation.
Oh yeah.
I hate confrontation.
You and I both.
I despise it.
I don't like it. It's uncomfortable.
But it's very uncomfortable. But may James be my example. He didn't shy away from it. Because,
right.
I mean, earlier on in chapter 1 and then in chapter 2, he says, don't show favoritism.
Right.
This is true religion.
Right.
You know, this is what is true religion. Chapter 2, don't show favoritism just because somebody's rich.
Right.
Chapter 3 talks about misusing the tongue, and he minces no words with that.
Oh, chapter 3 about what we say and how it hurts people and
yeah.
how it can cut people with the attitude that comes from our mouths. I mean, chapter 3 is so strong about the words from our mouth. I mean, I agree with you, Pastor Jim. He is just, he's very confrontational here in this book.
And, you know... I wonder what his congregation was like. I would love to know.
Probably typical people everywhere.
Well, yeah, and I agree with what Nan said. You know, a lot of it has to do with your attitude.
Yes.
And, you know, I think we just need to always be humble and have an expectant attitude, because then we're not going to be jealous. I want to see what God's going to do today.
Right.
God, how can you use me?
Absolutely.
Today? Not how can you use me to replace so-and-so, or how can I be used like so-and-so. It's how are you going to use me?
Exactly.
Because, yeah, I mean, there's times I am jealous of Nathan, our keyboardist.
Oh.
I wish I could play like that.
Oh.
At best, I can do two fingers, make a chord,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, we all have gifts. Paul says that differ according to our abilities. And if we just say, show me my gift, Lord, anoint me with your grace to be
right.
able to use that
yes.
gift, and then step out in faith and use it.
And use it.
Then we would fit together like we're supposed to. And there wouldn't be
yeah.
the jealousy and the envy and the strife.
Well, the devil has a hand in all of that.
Duh,
yeah. In fact, James says in James 3:16 that this jealousy is devilish and cunning. And gets in there and causes all kinds of problems. Nan, have all the years.
We look so familiar.
Yeah, you don't
you
really.
You look so much alike.
I don't think so. But of all the years that you were in the ministry, you've seen it, and I've seen it. Pastor Jim has seen it, that people feel threatened at someone else's success or mm-hmm. a new person coming in using their gift or their talent can sometimes throw some of the old guard off kilter, you know, and they get upset, you know?
Well, this is the way we've done it, and we're always going to keep doing it that
right,
way, is
right.
the attitude that, that sometimes they take. What they also don't look at is the there's not growth occurring in their churches, and growth is not for the sake of just numbers to put up on a bulletin board that shows how many were there that Sunday, like you know we used to do many years ago. At
I remember
church.
That.
You remember that? We used to have it at church. I remember.
We've never done it at Beacon.
Attendance.
No, never.
Last week's attendance, yes. attendance a year ago.
And the offering. Yep.
And then the offering, and yep. then the list of the hymns.
Yeah, well, we didn't have the hymns on ours, but I just lost my train of thought. But it's not for the sake of numbers, but it's for the sake of souls.
Absolutely.
It's for the sake of souls.
And souls, and also once we get them there, it's for the sake of the growth.
Absolutely.
We're right. not supposed to, you know, we get born into the kingdom as a baby,
mm-hmm.
but then we have to grow.
Right.
And I agree with what you said, you know, people coming in with gifts, you know, that it can be threatening.
Yeah.
And, you know, as pastors, we you know we do know people bring all their baggage and,
right.
and whatever.
Absolutely.
And, you know, praise.
It's a hospital.
Thank
praise
you,
God.
You know, yeah, praise God. You know, that's all we can do is just praise God
right.
sometimes.
It's okay.
But, you know, but yeah, God gifts each one of us.
Yes.
And, you know, my gifts are not, you know, and we've talked about, Pastor, how you and I complement each other because our gifts are not the same.
They're not the same.
But in a sense, we kind of fill out mm-hmm. each other.
We do.
You know.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's, and that's the whole church is to be that
right.
way. We are to fill out, complete each other.
Yes, yes.
But we can only do that if we're humble.
Right.
If we let God use us and if we're open to however God wants to move.
And that's how we stay with a good attitude is when we are open to how God wants to move. Let's try this next song, The Hurt and the Healer by Mercy Me. Let's listen to this song, and then we'll get more great talk and teaching from the book of James.
Left of me with glory. die. You take this heart and breathe it back to life.
That's a great song.
Oh, I love that.
Fall into your arms open wide, the hurt and the healer. You know, I said it at the top of the show, but I'm going to say it again because it fits right here. Beacon of Hope, our slogan is where the word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. People are hurting everywhere, you two. They are. It's everywhere.
That's the way I was when I came into Beacon.
Yeah.
I had been so hurt by leadership at church and inappropriate way of handling a really bad situation. I was hurt when I came to Beacon.
Right. I remember you telling me, I don't trust pastors. I said, okay, that's fine.
I did tell you, hang around,
and we'll just see how that works out.
And I can say I trust a pastor now.
Yeah.
You. And Pastor Jim.
Thank you. Both of you.
But it's taken some time for you to learn what we're like and what we... not that we're perfect, because we're not. He is. I'm not.
Yeah, right.
And but we don't always handle situations correctly, and I admit that, you know. But our heart's in the right place. We want to. We just don't always do it right, or you know, or maybe we don't have all the facts when we handle something, mm-hmm. or whatever the case may be. But there's so many hurting people out there, Nan, and they get hurt by church. I mean... Church, quote unquote, I mean, that's a generalization, but church so often causes people to say, I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. Right. I got burned. I got this, you know.
Well, and, you know, the church can hurt people in a number of ways. I mean, it can belittle them.
Right.
It can make them feel, one of your favorite terms, feel less than.
Less than, yeah.
Excuse me, because of. I mean, who they are.
Right.
And, you know, it's kind of, I mean, from a pastor's perspective, it can be kind of hard because, yes, sin needs to be confronted. If there's sin in the church, it has to be confronted. But you confront the sin. You don't belittle the person. You don't make them less than, because then you've just lost them.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And... then, you know, just leadership in the church has shot itself in the foot so many times.
Oh, yes.
You know, unspeakably.
Right,
you know?
Yes. What do they say about Christians? We are the ones who shoot our wounded, you know?
Yeah, well, we tend to shoot our wounded. And then we just tend to shoot ourselves in the foot sometimes.
Absolutely.
Because, and, you know, one of the other things people say about church it really is, oh, it's just full. I don't want to go because it's full of hypocrites. You know what? It is.
It is.
Get over it.
Right.
And I'm not saying being a hypocrite is right. I'm not saying that it's not a sin, because it is.
Right.
But that most people just use that as an excuse. And, yeah, there are hypocrites in the church. And most of them have been on television, and it's just everybody's known about it.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But... I think some people use that as an excuse.
Sure.
To run from God.
Right.
I don't know if you remember just ancient history, that there was a Billy Graham film, and one of the premises was The Hound of Heaven. This came out in like 1973.
Long time ago, yes.
I forget the name of it, but it came out about the time I got saved.
Okay.
And, you know, I remember because I had the little book, you know.
Right.
But it's like, you know, the Hound of Heaven, Jesus chases us.
Yes.
And as those of us all have found out, you can't outrun him.
No, because he's going to hunt you down.
Right.
You know, because he wants you to be in that relationship with him. And so things will happen in our lives where they may be hurtful situations. And then we have a choice to respond and run after God's solution, or to just dig a hole deeper and deeper, right, sometimes. And that's why James is talking about the attitudes in all of our lives are so important, because those attitudes, if we are truly submitting to God, resisting the devil, if we are truly learning to humble ourselves, if we're truly learning to deal with jealousy and envy, our lives are totally different. Go ahead.
James chapter 1, verse 2. He starts right off with it.
I love it.
Talk about attitudes. Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you fall into various trials.
Yes.
Okay. In the natural, none of us can do that.
Right.
You know, but again, it's our attitude. James says, count it all joy.
Yeah.
Because, believe me, if you're going through a trial, it's much, and I speak from experience, it's easier to get through it, and it seems not to last as long, even if it may last longer. But if it depends on your attitude. If I count it as joy, that's an accounting term.
Right.
I reckon it. I put it on the balance sheet as joy.
Joy.
And, you know, knowing, and he said, here's the promise, knowing that the trying of your faith produces patience.
Yes.
And, you know, we don't ever have to pray for patience. It's just going to come about because we're all going to go through trials. And if we just encounter them with joy,
right,
then, you know, patience will come. And he says again, patience, let patience have its perfect work. Again, be teachable.
Yes.
That you may be perfect or mature and complete, lacking nothing.
Amen. So when we approach a trial, considering it joyful, because we know that God is going to use this trial to make me stronger in Him, develop patience, endurance in me, teach me dependence on Him. You said today, Nan, at the nursing home in your talk, that the joy of the Lord is your strength.
I said that.
That's why you asked.
Nehemiah 8:10.
Yes.
The joy of the Lord is your strength. And if we take this to the place that James had learned in his own life to take it, when we have a trial that seems like, whoa, and instead of getting all depressed, discouraged, going to bed for 5 days, putting the covers over our heads, or resorting to addictions, or losing ourselves in whatever pursuit,
right,
if we instead take that situation and say, okay, God, your word says in James 1:2, that I should consider it all joy when, not if, when I encounter tests or trials of any kind. And if I consider it joy, then I look to you and I go, okay, God, I'm going with this. Mm-hmm. There is a reason that this is happening in my life. I am going to rejoice that you love me so much that you, like a loving daddy, are teaching me some principles here. I'm going to rejoice in this trial. Nan, you need to comment on this.
I need to?
Yes.
Ah, well, then I guess I ought to. it's very difficult. It's very difficult to have joy, you know, in those trying times of our life. You know, you were saying that, you know, get up and face things as opposed to spending 5 days in bed with covers pulled over your head. That has, in my life, been sometimes the way that I would do that. Yeah, because depression would start to hit in.
Right.
You know, that's the one thing Satan tries to pound on me on with depression. And, you know, spend a whole weekend in bed not getting anything done.
Right.
Get up and eat maybe a couple times. Food just didn't matter, you know, and just hopefully sleep the weekend away, you know. And that's no way to spend the weekend.
And hope that when you wake up on Monday morning, you feel better?
No, I usually feel worse.
But, you know, Nan, honestly, I believe this is a problem with people a lot of times, that is how they handle difficult situations. Instead of, it's all in the attitude, which is what we're talking about today. The attitude of, oh, woe is me, this is horrible, it can't get any worse, And they just go sink deeper and spiral down into that place of such negativity and sadness and depression and loneliness and hurt that they can't be joyful. How can you be joyful if you allow yourself to be there?
Sorry, I was having a hee-haw moment.
Go ahead, hee-haw.
Remember?
Woe is me.
Oh, no, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Dark depression.
Exactly.
See,
Cedric,
how
you don't even know that song, do you? Do you even know the show Hee Haw? You weren't born, were you?
I remember Hee Haw.
You
do? That's the one where they're in the cornfield,
yeah,
and then
they
jump up and say, howdy.
Right. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, howdy. Well, there was a song they used to sing.
I'll try to look it up.
A misery song, you know, woe is me type of song. You know?
But I mean, some people do that.
Right.
And yet, it is in the attitude of how you face trials.
Right.
Because I think... Oh, here we go.
If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair.
Thanks, Cedric. That was fast.
That was cool, Cedric. That was very good. That was not rehearsed, guys. That just happened right now live, like everything else does around here. But that's great. Thank you. Yeah.
That was wonderful.
That was wonderful.
But it's so true. And what we do, we stop the moving of God.
Yes.
You know, our attitudes are either going to allow God to move or they're going to... You know, they're not going to allow him to move and do what he wants to do, because we can't let patience have its perfect work if we don't let patience be born in us.
Exactly.
And we can't do that unless we count it all joy. And, you know, I'm not perfect with that. You can ask just about anybody. You know, there are times when I want to do the you know, gloom, despair.
You want to sing that
song,
I
do want to sing that song. And yet there are times when I'm able just to... turn it over to God.
Yes.
And count it joy.
Yes.
Count it as joy, remembering that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And it seems like, first of all, it's not as big a mountain as I thought it was.
Right.
It's usually, if I'm able to do this, the answer comes. The solution is there.
Absolutely.
Because I'm more able to hear God.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I'm just caught up in all my, you know, gloom and doom and gloom stuff, that's all I'm hearing. And I'm, you know, I'm not listening for God. And yet if I'm just kind of releasing it and saying, okay.
And if we really release it like that and we say, okay, God, I choose to be joyful in this situation. Mm-hmm. I choose to have fun with this. You say, are you crazy? No, I choose to have fun with this problem I have right now because, God, I know that your word says that you cause all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So you say to be considerate all joy when I'm in the midst of all kinds of problems. And so if I do that, and then Nehemiah 8:10 kicks in, as I am joyful, as I'm going, thank you, God, I'm going to learn what I need to learn from this trial. Thank you, God. Praise your name that I have an opportunity to be joyful here and to treat this situation in a different way than I always have in the past. You know, not going to be gloom and doom and misery and all of that. But instead, I'm going to look at this thing. See, an attitude is your frame of mind. How do you look at it? A mindset becomes a mindset of negativity, or it becomes a mindset of, okay, God, I'm going to be thankful in the midst of this. I am going to consider it joyful. When you do that, you get strong.
Mm-hmm.
The joy of the Lord is your strength. Did you want to comment on that?
Well, I was just thinking, you know, we're quoting, you know, all things work together for good. And it just hit me, you know, some people must think we're nuts to believe that.
Yeah.
You know, and you know
that's okay. They're wrong. We're right.
Okay, yeah. and to count it all joy,
right?
Because these go against the thinking of the world.
Yeah, it does go against our natural thinking.
Yes, it goes against.
Yes, it does.
You know, because we're just not well, because of sin, we're just not wired that way. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. we're going to be swimming one direction, mm-hmm. and yet here comes these little, you know, Bible-believing Christians swimming upstream. Mm-hmm. That would be us, you know, because we have a different mindset.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to be worried if trials come upon us. We don't have to fear I mean, right. Scripture is full. You mentioned this morning, don't fear. Don't fear.
Most frequent fear command not. In the whole Bible, fear not.
Fear not. And, you know, all through the Psalms, it says, you know, if we trust God, we don't have to be afraid. No matter what happens in the world, mm-hmm. no matter what calamity it looks like is going to happen,
right.
we do not have to fear because we can draw upon God. We can have that joy.
Woo!
And now, you know, I think, you know, so many people are you know, all whacked out about the election or whacked out about December 21st and, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's in God's hands.
Absolutely.
It is absolutely in God's hands.
And, you know, I wrote a letter to the church yesterday very quickly. And I said, you know, if Jesus were just about ready to come back, what if he really were? What if it's in our lifetime? What if it's in the next decade? I mean, seriously, I mean, indications would appear to be that way. But, I mean, what if it's closer than we have any idea? What are we doing to change our attitudes,
exactly.
our behavior? What are we doing to change our responses to God and His desires for us? We are going to get into this in our second hour. You have time to call a friend, get them to listen to Living the Good Life. And again, we are on www.tantalk1340.com. And also, Pastor Jim has the internet up. If you want to just send a note, if you want to send a question or just a comment, or if you want to tell us that we look cute, that's also possible. All you do is go pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, and it'll come up right here in front of his screen, and you can comment live right now during the show. So let's go to station ID, Cedric.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay, WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay, KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, and FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.
All right. We welcome all those people in the Little Rock, that seven-state area, all around. There's some in Texas that get this feed live. There's some in Tennessee now, Memphis area, I believe Missouri, Oklahoma, a little bit of Georgia. And it's not just a live feed in the Tampa Bay area now on the radio. It is also in that area. So we thank God for all that, the branch out. And we welcome you to check out our website. Actually, it's going to be revamped. It's in the process of being revamped right now, becoming more current, and we're excited about that. So, but you still go there and check it out, beaconofhopeministries.com. We also encourage you to go to facebook.com/beaconofhopeministries, because now we have parts of my sermons of the last three or four Sundays up there, and we encourage you to press the like button. The like button, because the more likes we get, then that moves us up in the standings and all kinds of things. So go to facebook.com/Beacon of Hope Ministries, and you can hear some like 10-11 minute excerpt of a sermon. You can just see a lot of postings. It's pretty cool. So go there.
And well, and look for the lighthouse with the rainbow around it, because
right.
there's a lot of Beacon of Hopes, but make sure. And is it Hope is in all capital letters, if I remember right? I think that's it.
I don't know if you have to do that, though.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure.
Because if you just type in Beacon of Hope, if you go to Facebook and search, this whole little drop thing comes
down. It's got to be Ministries.
Yeah, Beacon of Hope Ministries, and look for the lighthouse with the rainbow.
Yeah, do that. Okay. All right. So we're glad you've joined us today. And this is Pastor Marcia with Pastor Jim and Nan here live in the studio on this kind of cloudy day in Clearwater, Florida. We also welcome you to use our prayer line. And Nan, does it matter if they belong to Beacon of Hope or not to use that prayer line?
Absolutely not. Anybody can utilize that line.
Okay, how do they do it? Tell us.
Well, they send in a prayer request to prayers@beaconofhopeministries. Ministry. I knew I did something on there.
Beacon. It's plural.
Let's do it again.
All right, let's do it again.
prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com.
Right.
It's IES. And just lists out the prayer.
Right.
Then what happens with that prayer, it's picked up by one of the three or four team members that we have. And they will send that prayer out to whoever's on the prayer list, and send along a prayer also that if sometimes people maybe don't know exactly what to pray,
right.
or whatever, they can just pray that prayer. There's a prayer there that they can pray, you know, and then all these prayers are going up for that person's prayer request.
Exactly. So we welcome you to use that. We welcome you to our services at Beacon of Hope. We have a crazy band, and it's getting better and better every week. It just seems like all this talent is coming our way. And, you know, even redheaded, good-looking guys play guitar and sometimes... Yeah. Anyway, you just have to come by and visit to know what that was all about. Sunday mornings at 10 right now. We are making some changes in November, and we will be telling you about that, some outreach opportunities. I'm excited, Pastor Jim, about where we're going with Beacon of Hope.
Me too. Me too. And it's like we touched on in the first hour. It's a little, I don't want to say scary, but it's
different.
Well, yeah, we're living on, as David Wilkerson used to say, the author of Cross and the Switchblade.
That's right.
It's living on the edge of expectancy.
Amen.
And, you know, that's kind of what we're doing now, because we're kind of like the Israelites. We're just following the glory cloud,
right,
and, you know, and trusting God.
We are. And we're going to have a great big, mark your calendars, November 18th. We're going to have a big extravaganza. That's not even a good word for it. We are going to have a service in a very unusual venue. And we'll be telling you more about it in Dunedin on November 18th, Sunday night at 6 o'clock. It's going to be amazing, crazy, wonderful, fun, and in an unusual place. Mm-hmm. So, November 18th. We've got other things coming up. So, we welcome you to check out our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Also, use our prayer line, prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. And go to Facebook, facebook.com/beaconofhopeministries, and like it. Mm-hmm. So, that's what we got going on. We got a great song to start this next hour with, Rain in Me by Paul
Baloche.
Praise God. I love that song. Savior, save me. Healer, heal me. And reign in me. This is what James is talking about. If you just joined us, we have been teaching the book of James last few weeks. And this is really the essence of the book of James, is to allow God's Holy Spirit to shape us, change us, mold us, like we sang this morning, turn us into his image, cause our attitudes to change, and us to become so like Jesus that people can't tell us apart. Mm-hmm. Oh my. Nan, you want to comment on that? You seem to be deep in thought.
Yeah.
Or maybe you took a nap.
I was resting there.
Okay.
What was the question? I'm sorry.
I'll come back to you.
Thank you.
I'll come back to you.
At least I'm honest.
Exactly, yes. Reign in me, Pastor Jim. This is what James understood. I mean, kind of unlikely, interestingly enough, that the half-brother of Jesus becomes such a dynamo in the early church when so often the family members were resistive when it came to Jesus'
ministry.
Well,
and they were, yeah, because... In fact, I just read today in John 7, his brothers were almost taunting him. Well, go on up to the festival.
Exactly.
Show yourself. Teach them. Show them who you are.
And then called him out, yeah, you know, come out.
And it says in John 7, they said this because they didn't believe in him.
Yes.
They didn't believe he was the Messiah.
Right.
But then, you know, Paul says in his list of people that Jesus appeared to after the resurrection, specifically he appeared to James, his brother.
Yeah.
You know, I...
What about the other brothers? What about the sisters? Isn't it interesting?
Well,
James.
I think probably because James was, I mean, I don't have any scriptural proof of this, but I have a feeling James was next in line after Jesus. So he would have been the next oldest brother, which would have put him after Jesus' death as the head of the household.
Ah, okay.
So, I mean, he appeared to Peter, we know, separately.
Right.
And I'm sure that was to reinstate Peter and tell him that everything, you know.
Yeah, sure.
After the denials and
right.
stuff.
Denial.
And I think that's probably about the same reason he appeared to James was, okay, now do you believe?
Mm-hmm.
Here I am,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think that had to be transforming. I mean, anytime, and I realize most of us have not seen the risen Lord, but just even just a faith encounter with Jesus is a life transforming experience. You know, for me, I know the day, the date, the time, the place when I met Jesus for real.
Right.
And because it was life changing.
Right.
I mean, I kind of became a Jesus freak after that and pretty much alienated all my friends, but you know, God, you know, the zealotry of youth, you know.
Right.
But that's what it needs to be. Reign in me.
Right.
Take control.
Yes.
Because where we have not submitted to God, and I mean, there's areas in my life I know I still need to submit. And, you know, those are just like, we can't.
Right.
We eventually get to a point where we can't go any further unless we start submitting them. It's like we come up against a big wall and we have to submit in order for that wall to be knocked down for us to move on.
Right.
Well, yeah, Pastor Jim was talking about he can know right when, you know, what had occurred in his life. I was looking at my old Bible. It's really damaged. I don't know what to do about it. It's in bad shape. But I opened up into the cover of it. And, you know, and it was like 1976 and the date got saved.
Wow.
Then back in 97, really got saved.
Ah.
And, you know, all these things of every time I thought I was repenting, I was getting saved again. I mean, you know, I was a teenager.
Really got saved that time.
Really got, you know.
I love that.
And there's more of them, you know, and I just kept writing them
really,
in there.
Really, really, really got saved.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, to say when I actually had accepted Jesus, I don't know that. I don't know. Yeah, I just has always been in church. But one thing I know is...
Sounds like you know way too many times.
Way too many times. On my birthday, and I think you would recall this, Pastor, a situation happened with my family.
Yes.
That was very painful mm-hmm. for me.
Yes.
And it was about 2:45 in the afternoon, and it just hit me. And I said, God, I just want more of you.
Right. That was a year ago.
That was a year ago. And I left my office and went into a faculty lounge where nobody right. was and just sat there and cried and prayed. And I said, God, I just desire more of you. I just want more of you. I mean, it was this totally, Pastor Jim, overwhelming thing came over me and in me. And I just want more of you, God.
Amen.
I just want more of you. And what was initially something that was really hurtful, all of a sudden it didn't hurt me anymore because I had gotten past what caused that pain, and I just desired more of God. And so Woo. I can remember that encounter. Now, when I got saved,
I don't know.
Did
you mark it in your Bible?
Yeah, you should have.
Let's see. Now I'm in this Bible.
But that is so true. The times in our spiritual lives where we have a crossroads experience. Okay, and I think James is talking about that all through this book. He's going, humble yourself before God. Resist, submit to God. Resist the devil. And then James 4:8, draw close to God, and he will draw close to you.
That I just have to say, I did look from my Bible to see what I had written in, because this is my Bible I've actually had for 20 years. But, you know, in the church, we have the blue line.
Yes.
And we have a blue line.
But explain that to people.
Well, it's kind of like an altar, but not really an altar. We do have an altar at the church where people can kneel and pray, of course. But the blue line is kind of a point of submission, going up to be prayed for healing, whatever's happening in your life. And I put down October 16th, 2011, I put it all in the blue line. And I remember that.
Oh,
I remember that
I do
because
too.
I remember I typed out. All of a sudden, the Lord let me see all these things that I needed to submit to him.
Wow.
And remember, I walked up and I handed, and I don't think what you ever did with the paper, but I handed you a piece of paper that was symbolic to me. First of all, that I could trust you with that information.
Right.
But secondly, and primarily, that it was symbolic of, okay, I'm bringing it all to you here, God. I'm not going to go back to that. And I had to develop that kind of attitude to be able to do that.
So it was probably better that I didn't write all that out and send it out in an email to everybody I know?
I heard you send it to everybody except me.
No. But the point is so good. When we surrender, and James talks about this as an attitude shift that needs to happen in our lives, where we draw close to God. I mean, the song we just played, Reign in Me, you know, God, you be King, you be Lord, you be the one that I submit my doubts, my worries, my fears, my anxieties, that I give them to you. And you reign in me and change me. Woo. That's what this is all about.
Right, right. It can't be anything less than that.
It cannot.
You know, it's just, I mean, it's frustrating because, I mean, and I'll speak for myself, I know I'm not where I need to be. Thank God I'm not where I used to be. Praise God.
Okay.
But, you know, again, it's, I want to be ready. I want to be able to count it all joy, mm-hmm. to lay it all on the line. And I think that's an ongoing process.
It is an ongoing process.
And I speak from experience. There's probably going to be more stuff God's going to show you that you're going to be handed more sheets of paper to the pastor. Because it is. It's an ongoing
process. It is. Right.
As long as we're in this body, it's
we are becoming more like Jesus. It doesn't happen overnight.
And you know, we're not going to be perfect this side of the rapture.
No.
We're just not. But God still expects us to strive for that maturity.
Right.
You know, and James is a perfect book to read to do that.
That's
quite
right.
Honestly. I mean,
because he calls it out.
He calls it out.
Be full of doubt. You can't be double-minded. He starts that chapter one about being double-minded,
there are
you know.
Words that he uses.
Yeah.
Double-minded, patience.
Yes.
You know, humility, submission.
Right.
Those are words that are found all through the book of James.
Yeah, your mouth. He goes on and on about how our mouth gets us in trouble and that we're going to cause trouble with our mouths, etc., and our attitude. I think this book is one of attitude. I really do. It's just one of attitude.
In chapter 4, where do wars and fights come from among you?
What verse are you at?
Verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1. Do they not come from your desire for pleasure, that war in your members? And there, he's talking about, you know, like the members of our body, not mm-hmm. the members of the church. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain.
Right.
You fight and war. You know, those are pretty strong words.
Those are strong words.
And, you know, he says you lust and you do not have. You murder. Well, I don't know that anybody was actually getting, you know,
yeah.
killed in the church at Jerusalem. But remember what Jesus said? And this book has close links to the
yes,
Sermon on the Mount.
It
I mean,
does.
I just, you know, Jesus said, if you hate your brother in your heart, you know, you've heard it was said, do not murder.
Right.
But if you hate your brother in your heart, you murdered him.
Absolutely.
And that's what, you know, James is saying here. Hatred, lusting after stuff, you fight in war, you covet.
Attitudes.
Yeah, again, those are all attitudes. Like we talked about in the first hour, you know, those are attitudes. I might covet somebody's gifts.
Right.
Or covet their car.
Right.
Or, you know, whatever. Covet their looks, even.
Right.
And James says, no.
Right.
That's wrong. He just, you know, he says, where do these, and he calls them wars.
Right.
Among you. You know, if I had read this, if I'd been a member of that church, and actually this went out not just to the Church of Jerusalem, but to all the
right,
scattered
all the churches.
Churches.
Right, scattered churches.
I would have just, you know.
Ooh, this is strong
yeah,
stuff.
It is. I mean, can you imagine getting this?
Right.
You know, like, oh, wow.
Well, and what it is we come to a place in our lives where we say, okay, God, change me. And I think a lot of times people say that tritely. You know, when we were singing that song today, The Potter's Hand, you know, fill me, mold me, you know, use me. I mean, all of those things. I mean, that's talking about God getting involved in our daily lives to the point that he has permission to change us.
Well, and it kind of goes back to the concept of making a vow.
Yes.
And, I read through the first five books of the Bible every year. I read through the whole thing every year, but specifically that. And I remember the in the law, you had to really jump through a lot of hoops to get out of a vow that you made to God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because God doesn't take that lightly.
Right, absolutely.
And, you know, you make a vow to submit to him.
Right.
He remembers it, and mm-hmm. he's going to hold you to it.
Right.
And that's sometimes, I think, one of the reasons we get those various trials, because he's basically molding us and getting us to the point where we can be, like we said in the first hour, broken before him.
I want to say, I want to stay on, obviously, on this vein of thought here, but I did want to go back and give a little disclaimer about me passing you a sheet of paper that had all this stuff listed on it. Listeners, this is not normal.
No, that's not normal.
I don't think anyone's ever done that with you, ever.
No.
You know, but it was something the Lord led me that I needed to
that's
do a symbolic
point.
For me,
right.
For me, of bringing it down, giving it to him.
Right.
You were like proxy, if you will.
Right, sure.
And, you know, and then you just got rid of whatever you did.
I got rid of it.
You
yes,
got rid of it,
of course,
you know. But
yes.
I trusted you with
right.
that. You know, you probably didn't even read the stuff, but I trusted you with the information.
Yeah.
You know, and it was symbolic of taking it to God. So
right.
that was the
No, thanks
attitude.
For bringing that up.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that that's not normal. It's not a requirement. Like I said, no one's ever done it to you before.
No,
but
no.
For me, God said, do it. Therefore, I had to do it. My attitude, there we go. My attitude had to be, I'm going to turn this over.
Sure.
You know, and it was
and
stuff
that's what
like,
it was.
It was stuff like, you know, frustration toward my ex-husband for all he's done for me. His wife, how she's harassed me. And, you know,
yeah.
There was a whole sheet of things there. He led me in my quiet time with him.
Right.
In things that I have that I needed to surrender to him at the
right.
blue line that I didn't even realize I had.
Ooh.
So it was an attitude thing. It was an attitude thing.
I love the way the Holy Spirit works in these shows because we don't plan what we're going to discuss. We just know scriptures where we're headed approximately, and it doesn't always even go that way. And the music is planned before the show. But this is so perfect. This Hillsong song, one of my favorites, Show Me Your Ways, because that's got to be the prayer of our hearts today, that God, show me how to behave. Show me how to change. Show me your ways.
Show me your ways.
Praise God. What a great song. Show me your ways, God. That's what we're talking about today on Living the Good Life. Pastor Jim, we're talking about letting God show us how to behave, how to change our attitudes, how to change our behavior, how to quit gossiping or bad-mouthing or being jealous or envious or rebellious. I mean, that's what the book of James is all about.
Well, and I think, you know, I look at this and it's show me your ways. It's not show me your signs and wonders.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, show me your glorious acts. Mm-hmm. It's show me your ways.
The cry of my heart.
The cry of my heart is to know you more, to love
yes.
you more.
Yes.
And that's what it has to be. Yeah, I mean, signs and wonders, those miraculous yeah. acts, those will all come. But the most important thing is that we be conformed to the image of Jesus.
Absolutely.
And that's we have to know his ways. We have to know basically how God thinks,
right.
and then we have to do that.
Right.
We have to observe and do.
Absolutely. Observe and do. And that's why back in James 1, when James says, don't be double-minded, you know, like hesitating between two opinions, and one minute you're wanting what God wants for you, and the next minute you don't. And I think that's one reason Christians get a bad name is because of the inconsistency in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
That we can be lukewarm. I mean, what did Jesus say in the book of Revelation about the lukewarm church? You know,
vomit you out of my mouth.
You know, and God wants us to be hot for him.
Well, and
on it.
Yeah. And
you
as
know?
Far as, far
yeah.
as lukewarmness go, I think of, is it Amos chapter 6? Woe to those who are complacent in
yes.
Zion.
Yes.
And then Zephaniah chapter 1.
Yeah,
where God says, "I'm going to come. I'm going to walk through Jerusalem. I'm going to judge the people," and it most translations say that are complacent, but literally it means, "I'm going to judge those who are settled on the lees," which is that gunk in a cask of wine, is what it's referring
oh,
to.
Oh, okay.
All that crap that settles. Sorry, all that stuff that settles to the bottom. You know, just the impurities that settle
okay.
to the bottom of the cask.
Right.
People just get complacent, and it's just like that useless stuff at the bottom of a wine cask.
Whoa, that's interesting.
Lukewarm, I'm acquainted with that. No, I spent several...
How would you happen to be acquainted with lukewarmity?
Lukewarmity was a part of me.
And I can say from most people.
Most people. Yeah, I mean, there were several years that I walked in a lukewarm state, and it really wasn't... It was very challenging. It was very, what's the best word? It was not a good place to be.
Yeah, were you happy in God?
And no.
Was the joy of the Lord your no. strength?
Joy was not my strength.
No, because you were in a lukewarmity state.
Exactly. That's a pretty bad place, you know, to be. And many people find themselves that way. But, you know, I was that way, knowing
right.
from how?
Well,
no. Did you say how?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I was going to say I've been there too, and especially if you've known
exactly
the hot. If you've been
yes.
on fire and it kind of
yes.
cools, it's just an uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable.
Yes,
it's like I just never was really happy.
Well, there's an unsettledness down on the inside
right, because
of
you. Know you're not where
yeah,
God wants you to
be. You know where
be.
You're not. Yeah, you know you're not quite getting it. You know, and you're fighting because the junk in us wants God to just leave us alone. If
right.
we get into that lukewarm place, we just want God to leave us alone. But the hound of heaven that we were talking about earlier, God does not leave us alone, and He comes after us, and He puts situations, people in our paths, and opportunities, and we can either jump into that opportunity or we can go, nah, I'll wait for the next one. You know, I'll wait for the... It always reminds me of the revolving door. Do you know the door that you have in department stores or banks sometimes that mm-hmm. goes around in a circle? You know, and you're thinking, okay, I'm going to... there's that little compartment's too full of people. I'm going to wait till the next little one comes back around. And when it comes around, then somebody else jumps in. You go, oh, no, I'll wait. And you just keep... You know what I'm saying? That
mm-hmm.
if you can picture that revolving door of a bank or a department store, we used to see them a lot in Indiana. That was
yeah.
a common, those revolving
especially
doors.
Especially a few years back, you don't see them so
you don't
much
see them
anymore.
Much anymore. But you had to, you stand there sometimes. I remember as a kid in Indianapolis, you know, Jim, and when like blocks and LS Airs.
Yeah.
And I remember as a little kid standing there thinking, okay, wait a minute, I got to hurry up and grab that next opening, you know, to get in the door. It was kind of a weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think spiritually, a lot of times, we're just like those little kids standing there going, okay, there'll be a better compartment coming up here in a minute. Or, you know, and we just stand and wait and wait and wait and miss opportunities. Nan, you and I could have said to the girl today mm-hmm. at IHOP, you know what, we have some talking to do here about this mm-hmm. or that or about the radio show or whatever. But we just went with the flow. We just mm-hmm. jumped right into that revolving door and let God take us where he was going to take us.
You know, and there were some things that I wanted to share with you, but you know...
We'll have other times
because that was a point of ministry.
Yes.
That was ministry, just listening to her speak. Mm. You know, she did probably 95% of the talking. We already said anything. Okay, yes. You know, that was about it. But she needed to share. She needed to share with us. And, of course, you have already mentioned this was a divine appointment.
It was.
And there's a possibility of future going forward with her involved with some of the stuff at Beacon simply because of where she's been and where she's going.
Right.
So that was important.
It was a Kairos moment.
Kairos is the Greek word for God's opportune timing, whereas the other word for timing is chronos, like just the passing of time. But when God is intervening in your life and he is opening a door of opportunity, or like what happened to us today at IHOP, or other situations that God puts certain people in your path for a reason, and you don't go through that open door. Instead, you hesitate and you're double-minded. Ah, should I? Should I not? No, I'm just not. Yeah, I will. I don't know. What if that happens? I'm not sure. And you become double-minded, you know?
And you had mentioned what Elijah said to the people of Israel. How long are you going to limp between two opinions?
Right.
If God is God, then serve him. Right. If the Lord is God, then serve him. If Baal is God, then serve him. But make up your minds.
And, you know, that always reminds me of the seagulls on the beach because, you know, I'm there as much as I can be. And the seagulls sometimes, I remember the very first time I saw this when I first moved down from Indiana 20-some years ago, and I remember seeing a seagull walking along on one leg. And I thought, oh, my gosh, that poor little seagull has lost a leg. And I remember saying to the person I was with, look at that little seagull, he's got one leg. And all of a sudden, he dropped it down. Okay, he had it hidden up under him. And, I mean, he was like wobble along on one leg. And then he had the ability to walk on two legs. He just was like, I don't know, I think I'll just walk on one leg for a while. And I think so often we do that. We walk in limited capacity. We don't have everything going. We're not operating on all cylinders. You know, we don't have all the lights on. You know what I'm saying? And we're just kind of limping along, hesitating mm-hmm. between two opinions.
Right.
You know, that seagull had two perfectly good legs. If you're ever at the beach, notice this because they love to do that and fake you out. Then they put that other leg back down. So what God is saying to us is, come on, let's be walking on two legs. Let's be doing the work that God has called us to do. Nan, you have a comment on that. I can tell.
Well, I was just thinking a lot of times we don't want to step up to the plate because we're afraid of what he will ask us to do.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, I guess, kind of a human nature kind of thing is, what am I going to have to give up? But, you know, you need to look at it like, what am I going to receive? We receive a lot when we step up to the plate to do things for him.
Absolutely. You know, that reminds me of baseball. You know, one of my favorite
games. I can tell something was going there.
As soon as Nan said step up to the plate.
I so love baseball. I'm just a baseball addict, I guess. But I love it because grew up playing it. But when those players, they can be the top home run hitter of the team. And when they get up to the plate, you know, Cedric, as well as I know, they look to the coach. Third base coach or the first base coach for what they're supposed to do right then. There's signals, there's signs. You know, they go through all these things and a lot of them are nothing. And then they get to the right sign and they know what they're supposed to do. And it's so cool to watch them like get the signal and realize what they're going to do. You know what I'm saying? You got it. Yeah, I can
absolutely
see. Yeah. And when they do that and they see that thing, that signal, it may be that they're a home run hitter, but the coach says, I want you to bunt. You know, I want you just to tap it right here. That's what I want you to do. You know, or I want you to stand up there and just take the balls. Just take them. Don't do a thing. You know, and that's total dependence on the wisdom of the manager, of the coach. Mm. You know, that's what that is. And I think this is where God is leading us, Pastor Jim. We've got to be that dependent
mm-hmm.
on the Holy Spirit.
Well, and yeah, we are being led by God.
Yes.
And that requires dependency because we don't know where we're going. I mean, you know, usually when we pray, when I pray, you know, if I'm praying for somebody to have wisdom or guidance, I'm going to say, and you know, I say this right. all the time, lead them just like you did the Israelites with right. the glory cloud. Make it that plain.
Mm.
Because, you know, we have certain guides, the word, thy word is a lamp unto right. my feet. The Spirit, Jesus said, would guide us into all truth.
Right.
We just have to be sensitive to that. And you know, we're human, and thank the Lord he understands that. And, you know, we do need to pray that it be made plain to us.
Right.
What do you want us to do?
Right.
Because, well, I remember in the movie The Hiding Place.
Yes.
When Corey was at a point where she was like her lowest, and, you know, she'd had this argument with Betsy, her sister, and because she had kind of, she was trying to do it not by faith, but just on her own. And I remember she just says, don't let me go mad poking about on my own.
Hmm.
And I think sometimes we do that. We think, we try and trust God, and yet we also poke about on our own thinking, well, here's my scheme for this. Hmm. Here's what I think we need to do.
Hmm.
It's got to be what God wants us to do.
Absolutely.
Because otherwise we're building nothing.
Exactly. And when we listen to God, get his direction, and wait for confirmations, because this is what God does. He mm-hmm. confirms it in the word. Some of you may be in some difficult situations right now, and you need God's direction in your life. And you really need to know whether you're to do this or this or this, or maybe it's a totally different plan. I can tell you from personal experience, I'm living it right now, again, that when we are totally dependent, God, I don't know what to do. So you give us the plan. We're going to do what you want us to do. You open the doors of opportunity for us, and it's not going to be our plan, it's your plan. Then things come together so beautifully. Nan, do you have a comment to that?
Well, a lot of beautiful things have happened in my life since I came to Beacon. And I mean, that's, I guess, a point I can point at, because I can go back to some of the poems I wrote and know the date. It was in August. I mean, August when I came to Beacon. But there's just a lot of great things that have happened by submitting my will to mm-hmm. him and making the actions mm-hmm. of saying, not your will, but
yeah.
mine. I mean,
right.
not my will, but yours be done.
Right.
And lead me and guide me. And he has done that in some things, and it's been really a beautiful thing to have that occur in my life.
And it changes our whole mindset if we allow it. When we enter into that phase in our lives where we're saying, I'm going to draw close to God, and God's word promises me in James 4:8, he will draw close to me.
Well, and Nan, you know, quoting what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was crucified, that is the prayer we need to have, because while we hopefully won't die by doing God's will, like Jesus did, but I think of the song, the Mercy Me song, the hurt and the healer, he says, a part of me dies, and then you bring it back to life.
Yes.
That's, you know, that's what happens. We submit, a part of us has to die.
It has to.
When we say, your will be done, we're letting him take over. You know, let this cup pass from me.
Right.
You know? But not my will, but yours be done. And that's a little bit of dying that we have to do right there. But we get that part resurrected. It
yes.
comes back, you know, it comes back to a new life.
Right.
For everything we lay down, we get it back brand new, renewed, restored.
Renewed, restored. John 12, Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat
falls into the ground
and dies, it can't live. And he was, that was really a metaphor for his own life too, that mm-hmm. he was going to have to go to the cross and die so that he could live.
Right.
And so that we could live. And it's just kind of doesn't make sense in our natural mind that we have to continually die to the way we think things should be. That we have to continually die to controlling other people, controlling situations, controlling, I want it to be this way, so I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to say this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. So it goes exactly the way I want it to go. And Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it cannot live.
Exactly. Exactly.
We got to die.
But yeah, and in death, we stop manipulating God. We stop manipulating each other.
Ooh.
We stop scheming and trying to do it our own way.
Yes.
And it's not easy. It's not easy because there's a part of us that always wants to stay in control.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the thing the attitude that, I mean, James is talking all through the book about attitudes here, his book, and he doesn't maybe use the word controlling spirit. But he's talking about how our tongues get us into so much trouble. And we do try to control others with passive-aggressive comments with, I wouldn't do it that way. And you know what I'm saying? Attitude.
Jealousy, envy.
People, attitude. You know, give people attitude, you know? You know? And God is very strong through James saying, wait a minute, it's all about dying to self, dying to the way we think it should be, submitting completely to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. letting God do his work. Ooh, very important, don't you think, Nan?
Very important, very difficult, but very rewarding.
Ooh, that was all profound. Mm-hmm. Very important, very difficult, but very rewarding. All true. Ooh, hallelujah. We're gonna do this Terry McCallum song. It's actually one of my favorites. We I know there's
how
so many
favorites. Do you have
hundreds? 249, I guess.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, so many favorite songs, but this is one. And I've seen this guy in concert, and he is amazing. Concert is not the right word for it. Worship. I've been in a worship service that Terry led, and it was an amazing experience with God. You're my glory and the lifter of my head, from Psalm 3.
You're all we want to see. You're my glory. You're my glory, Lord, and the lifter of my head. For thou, Lord, art a shield for me, my glory. And the lifter of my head, you're my.
did. So whatever you're going through, dear listening audience, right now, God is the one that will lift your head. He'll lift you up out of the situation that is so difficult for you. Lord, we pray a blessing right now for our listening audience. There are some right now that are hurting. They're sick in their body. They've got all kinds of emotional issues perhaps going on. Lord, you know every single one that's listening live and those that will listen in the future. And Lord, you know the needs of their lives. And so, Lord, right now we come before you in faith, believing that you are the glory and the lifter of our heads. And that no matter how difficult our circumstances feel, no matter how bad they look, no matter how discouraged we might be about some situation, Lord, you're the one that can lift our heads. We remember David writing this, Psalm 3, so long ago when he was going through a very difficult time. And David understood that you were the one, Lord, that could raise him up out of those situations and change his attitude. And so, Lord, if there are those right now that are really in a bad place with their attitude, with their emotions, with discouragement, despair, defeat. Lord, there might be some out there right now that are suicidal. There might be some that are so beat down and abused that they don't know where to turn. God, I ask that you open doors for healing for these. Lord, I ask that you send the right people to them. I ask, Lord, that you move that mountain of fear and despair. I ask right now, Lord, that you heal the bodies. There are some that are listening that are suffering from cancer. Lord, we speak healing to their bodies right now in Jesus' name. There are some that are so depressed that they feel like giving up and they would rather die than live. And Lord, I ask right now that you would just minister your peace and your joy, your comfort to these, and that they would remember that your word revives us and gives us life. That they would turn to your word and to you, Jesus, because you are the word. That they will turn to you and receive newness of life this day. We speak healing emotionally, physically. We speak salvation to those who need salvation. Let them desire you with all their heart. Let them run to you with all their heart. And let them know the joy of the Lord, and it become the joy become their strength. So, Lord, we intercede for these. And we don't know who they are, but you know who they are. And we ask you to move in these situations and send the right workers into the harvest to minister to these needs. You get the glory and you get the praise, mighty God. We love you so much and know you can do this. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Woo! He's the glory and the lifter of our heads. That song just never, ever ceases to thrill me. There's something about it.
It's a good one.
Go on.
Well, it's straight out of Scripture.
Yeah, Psalm 3. Yeah.
And it is. I mean, you know, I learned a different version of that psalm, but it's, you know, Lord, how are they increased to
right.
trouble me? I mean,
right.
basically, Lord, people are coming against me.
Right.
And David said, many are they that rise up against
yes.
me.
Yes.
Many are they that say of my soul, there is no help for you in God.
Right.
And I mean that speaks to me because there are times when I felt surrounded,
right?
And that many are telling me, you know, give up. God's
right.
not going to help you,
right?
You know, there have been those times when,
oh,
you know, give up. God's not going to help you. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory,
yes,
and the lifter of my head. And that term to lift up one's head,
right?
The king would do that,
right?
As a symbol of acceptance, is a symbol of forgiveness, is a symbol that you're in right standing with the king.
Right.
He did that to Joseph in the book of Genesis.
He lifted up his head. Right.
Brought him out of prison, lifted up his head.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, okay, you can look at me now. And that's what David was asking God
right.
to do. You're my glory.
Yes.
You're my glory and the lifter of my head, the one who lifts up my head.
Right.
Out of despair,
yes.
out of bondage, out of darkness.
Yes.
You lift up my head. And you show me I'm accepted
Ooh.
By you.
Amen. And we are. He loves
mm-hmm.
us. No matter what our listening audience is going through right now, I just feel like God is really wanting to encourage people and to help them realize that it's time to change attitudes
right.
so that we can experience all the blessings of the Lord, not just wallow around in despair, but instead rise up and say, I'm going to take it. I'm going
exactly.
for it. I'm going for it. You know? Nan, do you have a thought there?
Well, my thought was actually a closing thought, which I think is about...
That's fine. Go ahead. We're getting close
point.
To it.
I, of course, have been reading the King James Version, but in back to verse 7...
of course you are.
...of James... I love the King James Version, folks, and they like to tease me about that from time to time.
Not me.
Never you. in chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he would flee from you. I guess I feel like what's close to my heart today is to speak to people who are going through depression
yes.
or who is suicidal.
I'm feeling that, too, that there are some that are listening right
you know,
now.
I know
yes.
what it's like to be suicidal many years ago. I know what it's like to hold a gun to my head, wish I had the guts to pull a trigger, realize I had a little two-year-old baby, and I couldn't do that to him. So, you know, I had to back off from what I thought was the thing to do, which wouldn't have been the thing to do, and I didn't do it, thank goodness. But that and just the depression can be really bad. It is bad, but I would encourage them, if there's people that are feeling this way, take an action. Take an
yes.
action. Take an action. Put your prayers into prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. We'll pray with you.
Yes.
But, if you need scriptural things, we'll give that to you. Websites, the email addresses for Pastor is pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, or for Pastor Jim is pastorjim@beaconofhopeministries.com. And send in questions if they have questions.
Yes.
Send in a prayer request if they God will move in their situation.
Exactly.
They do not need to lay in that bed and be depressed the rest of their life. God will move. And I want them to know that God will move. If they feel like killing themselves, God will move and help you in the situation you have to take authority over in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. And I agree with you. And I was feeling that as I was praying. And you're feeling it too,
oh,
right
I feel
now.
It very strongly. Very okay. strongly right now.
So whoever you are, get a hold of us, because we will minister to you through
Amen.
Email or actually leave a message on the phone and the church phone, 813-417-3377. And we'll get back to you right away. 813-417.
Could you say that again? Say it real slowly for them.
I will. It's an 813 number, even
right.
though we are now in Pinellas County. 813-417-3377. 417-3377. 417-3377. It's an 813 number. Leave a message, and we'll get back to you just as soon as we can. Or just email. That's really the quickest, is to email. And that's prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com or pastorjim@beaconofhopeministries.com or pastor, that's me, @beaconofhopeministries.com. Pastor Jim, you have some final thoughts. Thank you, Nan, because I believe you were following the leading of the Holy Spirit right there. And I do believe that God was ministering hope and life
yes.
to someone,
yes.
at least one right
yes,
now.
I believe mm-hmm. that.
I do.
It's all about attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can't seem to say that enough today.
We can't. That's what this show's become about.
Right. Your attitude either limits God or allows God to move in your life.
Right.
And that's sometimes you wish he hadn't left certain things up to us, but this is one thing he's left up to us, is our attitude toward
Amen.
Our circumstances, toward what God, even what God is doing.
Yes.
Because we can say, oh, no, I'm not going to let you do that.
Right.
And then we're just going to stifle, you know, his move. God is... He's going to do some wonderful things before Jesus comes back.
Yes.
And we need, later on in James, he says, be patient for the coming of the Lord. And we need that patience.
Mm-hmm.
We need, and he says, establish yourselves.
Right.
And that's an attitude too.
Right.
You know, just to establish ourselves in the word, in the blood, in the name, in the spirit. Be established in all those things
mm-hmm.
because... He's coming,
right.
and he wants to do miraculous, amazing things.
Right.
You know, you read Joel chapter 2. Great things he's going to do before
right.
his coming.
Amen.
And there's going to be, and I want to be a part of that.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, part of that is going to be my attitude.
Right.
Am I going to let God move me? Am I going to be willing to change where he tells me to change?
Amen. Woo, great show. Thank you, Pastor Jim and Nan. And Cedric, let's go back to that song. Just play it lower. Let me talk over it. We welcome you to any services if you're in the Tampa Bay area, Sunday morning at 10 and Wednesday night prayer meeting at 6:15, Bible study at 7 o'clock. Go to facebook.com/Beacon Vote Ministries. Like it. And also watch some of our recent sermon clips. You can go to our website, beaconfolkministries.com, and catch a lot of our old radio shows. Gives you something to go to, listen, and learn. You're my glory and the lifter of my head. So for whatever you're going through, run to Jesus right now. Draw close to God, and He will draw close to you. God bless you. Have a great week. Reach out to us if you need help. Prayers at beaconfolkministries.com. You're my glory and the lifter of my head. This has been Pastor Marcia, Pastor Jim, and Nan joining you today on this show. All right, let's crank up that music, Cedric, and we're out of here. See you next week.
You're my glory.
Clearwater, Tampa Bay, WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay, KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, and FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.